He sat quietly for a while, basking in whatever pleasure he was able to take from the replay of this trip to the moon. Then he gathered up the tapes, and while he was putting them away, I walked around the apartment again. The rooms were more barren than I had realized at first. There were no clothes in sight, no kitchen utensils, no towels or toiletries. "But where are your belongings?" I asked. "Where do you sleep?" "Oh, I don't live here," he said. "I have no home, no fixed address. I prefer it that way." "You're joking." "Nope, I stay with friends. I leave my clothes in suitcases in various apartments." He reached into his pocket and pulled out a key ring jangling with keys. "I've got keys to the apartments of 10 friends. These are my house keys." Ralph Curtis's rooms could have made a very comfortable apartment. I ventured to say that it baffled me why anyone who could live in a palace on the Grand Canal would choose instead to live out of a suitcase in other people's apartments. "I don't like possessions," he said. "I don't want to own anything."
"But you're an owner of Palazzo Barbaro."
"I prefer to think of myself as the Barbaro's spiritual custodian."
"In what way?" I asked.
"For 400 years, the Barbaro family lived here. They were scholars, philosophers, diplomats, you name it, seekers of wisdom and harmony. That's the heritage of this palace, and it has to be protected."
"Protected from what?"
"Well, anything inappropriate, offensive, debasing. For a while, we rented out the Piano Nobile for private parties, hoping it would be a harmless way to help pay expenses. We signed a contract with Jim Sherwood, who owns the 21 Club in New York and the Cipriani Hotel here, to do the catering. He went to great expense. He bought a lot of equipment and even installed a standard industrial kitchen, but it all got to be too much. He created a menu with really objectionable phony names like Tornado's Barbaro, and he commissioned sets of glasses and dishes that had the Barbaro insignia, which is a red circle on a white background. I said to him, "Jim, do you know where that insignia comes from?" He didn't know. I said, "It's from a battle during the Crusades when a Barbaro commander sliced an arm off a Saracen infidel and swabbed a bloody circle with it on a white cloth to make a battle flag." I said, "This is scandalous. He'd spent $80,000 on the glassware and the dishes, and I made him throw them out. I told him, 'You're lucky I didn't break them all.' And then finally, I made him tear out the kitchen. Now the kitchen is being put to better use. It's the peace room."
"And the Piano Nobile is up for sale," I said.
"I'd rather not sell it. I'd prefer to donate the Piano Nobile to the National Gallery of Art as a symbolic gesture. I wrote them about it, but they said it would cost too much money to maintain."
"But it is being sold, isn't it?" I asked.
"Probably," he said. "Pat isn't happy about it. She wrote a letter to my sister, Lisa, and me, accusing us of wanting to smbrare the family's artistic and cultural patrimony, which means literally to dismember it. She wrote the letter in Italian. She's very Italian at heart, which at times irritates me a little. Her dedication to the house is almost a sickness. Patricia's portrait was painted in the Barbaro when she was about 20. It was done in the style of Sargent and Boldini, and I think it had a profound effect on her. It gave her a sense of not only having to live up to the house and the family, but also the portrait. I told her, 'It will destroy you.'"
Ralph returned to his favorite topic as we put our coats on and went back out into the antechamber.
"If you like, I'll send you copies of the letters I mailed to the heads of state. They're on file in the peace room."
We were halfway down the courtyard stairs when I realized he had forgotten to show me the rest of the Piano Nobile. But I let it pass.
"I can send you other material, too, but only if you're really interested. I've written out the Martian National Anthem in Cyrillic lettering."
We parted where we had met, in Campo Santo Stefano.
"You know," he said, "whoever buys the Piano Nobile will become the new spiritual custodian of the Barbaro. I just hope it'll be someone who understands what that means. We'll have to see what happens."
He glanced around the campo as if looking to see whether anyone was eavesdropping.
"Anyway," he said, "I have a plan. After the new custodians have had it for a while, once they've really settled in, I'll go over there and tell them about the Barbaro project. You never know."